8th chapter, Mark's Gospel, verses 34 and 35. When he called the people to him with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In verse 34, Jesus lays down very pointedly, bluntly, requirements of discipleship. And we'll look at them together in a moment. But I'd like to say first that anyone can be a disciple of Jesus. Anyone, male or female, rich or poor, young or old, black or white, anyone can be a disciple of Jesus. No one is kept away except by their own will. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me." And he lays down three requirements, and we'll look at them in turn. First, he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Self-denial. We usually use the word self-denial in a very restricted sense. We abstain from certain foods or luxuries and talk about denying ourselves. We would do without certain pleasures in order to make a contribution to world hunger, for instance, and say that we are denying ourselves. We give up smoking and drinking and sweets for Lent, and we talk of self-denial. But all these things are only a very small part of what Jesus meant by self-denial. True self-denial demands a radical reorientation of life. Finally got it out. A radical reorientation of life. Total change in life. Everything is different. Self is no longer at the center. Some people might like me to say this, but the most selfish creature on the face of the earth is a baby. As far as the baby is concerned, its world is all that matters. It doesn't matter how tired mother is or how late at night it is. If that baby's hungry or wet or dirty, it cries out and it will cry out until it's taken care of. Total selfishness. Tragically, some of us never outgrow that. But when we become a person that has denied themselves, we're no longer at the center of our life. William Barclay said, "To deny self means in every moment of life to say no to self and yes to God. To deny oneself means finally and for all to dethrone self and to enthrone God. To deny oneself means to blot out self as the dominant principle of life and to make God the ruling passion of life. This is to come to say with Paul, 'I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me.' To deny self in the blunt language of Emil Brunner means that we take ourselves by the scuff of the neck and hurl ourselves off the throne in the center and place Christ there. To deny self means a radical reorientation of life. Self is no longer at the center. We place Christ at the center. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross." And as Luke records this, "take up his cross daily and follow me." When Jesus first spoke these words, the disciples had only too vivid a picture of what he meant. A condemned man was required, as Jesus was later required, to carry his own cross to the place of crucifixion, or at least the cross beam, if not the whole thing. No doubt the disciples had seen more than one person pick up their cross, walk through the village streets to the place of execution. They knew that taking up a cross meant suffering, in the case of Jesus, a voluntary suffering. Now Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you must take up your cross. Take up your cross. We often confuse burdens or thorns with the cross. Everyone bears burdens. Most people endure a thorn, but many never take up their cross for Christ. W. and Klaus said, the burden and the thorn are universal and they're inescapable, but the cross is not universal, and the cross can be escaped. Our cross is not some heavy duty we must face. Everyone has duties. Everyone has responsibilities. The atheist as well as the Christian has day-to-day tasks which he must perform. This is not a cross. Some calamity, sorrow, or loss that comes our way is not a cross. These may be tragic. They may be crushing blows and heavy burden, almost too heavy to bear. But again, not a cross. Soon or late, everyone experiences sorrow. Everyone experiences loss. Everyone experiences tragedy. Nor is our cross some affliction we must bear, some incurable disease or some deformity or some handicap caused by an accident. These can be better described as a thorn. They come to everyone at some time in life. Nor is our cross some terrible temptation which eats into our character, some undue sensitivities or some shortcoming which bothers us. And we try to excuse it and say, well, I guess that's just a cross I have to bear. All of these are what Shakespeare calls the 1,000 natural shocks that flesh is heir to. Everybody experiences responsibility. Everybody has burdens. Everybody has tragedy. Everybody has difficulty. Everybody. These are not crosses. The cross for Christ was a deliberate choice. A deliberate choice. He lived in heaven's glory. He had grace and glory and power. He's in the form of God. But he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. He chose it. His death did not take him by surprise. He chose to give his life for you and me. He said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Jesus chose to lay his glory by and come to this earth and live among us. He chose out of love to dwell here and teach and show the love of God. And finally, he chose to give his life for you and for me and our salvation. He laid down his life, took up his cross, and went to Calvary for you and me. The disciples' cross is also taken up by deliberate choice. No one can impose a cross upon you. No one can force you to carry a cross. You can always avoid a cross if you want to. But if you put Christ first in your life, you must take up your cross and follow him. Pick up your cross is always to put Christ first in all things by deliberate choice. When no one is twisting your arm, you throw yourself into the struggle against evil. That's taking up your cross. When you do something for Christ and the church which you know will cause you to be misunderstood and opposed and criticized and disliked, that is taking up your cross. When you speak out against some custom which you consider pagan and sinful, when by remaining silent you could be thought of as a good fellow, that's taking up your cross. When you stop doing something that you've done for years and your friends question you about it and you reply that you've changed because you came to know Jesus better and understood discipleship more fully, that's taking up your cross. When you witness at home, school, at work, or door to door to the saving power of Jesus, life, death, and resurrection, that's taking up your cross. You ever think about it? Paul could have lived all of his days as a respected rabbi, but he took up his cross and took the gospels to the Gentiles, suffered all kinds of physical torment, and finally death. But we are forever in his debt that he took up his cross to follow the Christ. John Wesley could have lived out his life in security and obscurity as a parish priest. But he saw something bigger and better than that, and he took up his cross and said, "The world is my parish." And he changed the whole of the church, and we are forever indebted to him. You could name them one by one. I think of Jim Goodwin, who could have been successful as a minister or a businessman here in this country, but he took up his cross to follow Christ and went to Brazil and gave his life there as a missionary. People that you know have done the same. Some of you remember Larry and Laura Hills that were here some time ago. He was a fruit farmer out in Michigan, Minnesota, and wife and five children. He heard the call of God to go into a larger world, and he took his wife and those five children and went to Africa, and for about 14 years lived on a little boat going around the lake, spreading the gospel and bringing hope in schools and hospitals and church to a whole country. So many have taken up their cross. People here in this church have taken up their cross in love and obedience to Jesus. But again, as Luke amplifies it just a little bit, he said, take up your cross daily. Being a disciple is not being a part-time job. Little piece of doggle I picked up somewhere said that they go to church on Sunday, but they're all right by Monday. It's just a little habit they've acquired. That's not taking your cross, just going to church. It's life-changing, radical reorientation of life every day. Every day. It's not an occasional thing that you do when you feel like it. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up their cross daily. To take up your cross is hard enough, but to carry it day by day to the place of crucifixion is harder. It would be hard to die for Jesus, but to daily die, as Paul put it when he said, I die daily, is surely harder. William Barclay said the really important thing is not the great moments of sacrifice, but a life lived in the constant awareness of the demands of God and the needs of others. A life lived in the constant awareness of the demands of God and the needs of others. The Christian life, which is always concerned with others more than it's concerned with self. If anyone would be my disciple, let them deny themselves, take up the cross. And then he says, follow me. Self-denial and cross-bearing are useless unless they're done in loving service to Christ. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if I give all that I have to feed the poor and have not love, it profits me nothing. If I give my body as a human sacrifice to be burned and have not love, it's all in vain. Self-denial and cross-bearing are useless unless they're done in loving service to Christ. There have always been, and there still are, those who give their lives to some cause, even to some good cause, who deny themselves and sacrifice all, and yet who are not disciples and are not following Jesus. We've all heard of some dedicated communist who was ready to sacrifice anything and everything for their cause, but they're not followers of Christ. We've seen so many evidence in the last several years of people who were willing to follow this person or that person, who denied themselves and sacrificed everything they had, but following somebody else other than Jesus and not knowing the joy of following Him. To be a disciple, we follow Jesus. We follow Him in everything. We strive to render perfect obedience to Jesus. Most of us, when we were young, played a game called Following the Leader. You remember, I don't know whether the children still play it or not, but you remember when we played Follow the Leader, that you followed the leader, you tried to do everything that the leader did, no matter how difficult or how ridiculous it might seem. You wanted to be a good follower of the leader. Well, the Christian life is a constant following of our leader, a constant obedience and thought, word, and deed to Jesus Christ. The Christian walks in Jesus' footsteps where they lead. In following Him, there is danger. Danger that life will be upset, that it will be loaded with the burdens of others, that it will be thrown into deadly combat with the strong of evil. But it is a bright danger that illuminates life with a divine light. We like Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. See the joy that set before us. We bequeath joy to the world and quicken joy in the watching heaven as we follow in His steps. Would you be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You can be, every one of you. But if you would be a disciple, it requires self-denial. He said, deny yourself. It requires cross-bearing. He said, take up your cross daily. And it requires loving obedience. He said, follow me. Follow me. Discipleship is demanding. But Christ would have us yoked up with Him, that we may be able to carry the heavy loads that become our way. But discipleship is also very rewarding. Jesus reminds us that whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, the same will save it. Amen. Lord Jesus, we see that it's not easy to be a disciple, but oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. That we can day by day deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow You. And know life. Know life. Abundant and rich and rewarding. And so great. Help us all covenant with You tonight. In ourselves, take up our crosses and follow You. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.